Blog Talk Radio.
Blog Talk Radio, welcome. You're listening to Here Be Monsters. We're one of a drumline of indie radio shows boycotting the lies of the mainstream media and providing the people with an alternative media choice here, speaking truth to power. Something you should remember on a Sunday is that those who have the very least are always the ones who give the very most. We're going to play a little song for you and be right back.
So we thought we'd do a Woody Guthrie song here. Folks back east, they say, leaving home every day, beating the hot old dusty way out to the California line. Across the desert sands they roll, trying to get out of that old dust bowl. They think they're going to a sugar bowl, but this is what they find. Police at the port of entry say, you're number 14,000 for today. And if you ain't got the dough, raise me. If you ain't got the dough, Amy, you better go back to your beautiful Texas, Oklahoma, Kansas, Georgia, Tennessee.
Franco, she does a fine job every time we broadcast in solidarity with the peacefully driven Occupy movement worldwide. This is the Sunday show, January 8th, 2012, the first week of a prophetic year. With me today is Jack Jodell of the Saturday Afternoon Post blog and the Roundtree7.com blog. Hi, Jack.
Hi, Gwen. Hi, everybody out there.
Today, our first guest is already with us. He is punctual. And if a little below the weather. David, are you with us, Harlan?
Yeah. How am I coming in? I'm okay.
You're coming in really good. David is with us today to talk about a phenomenon that he wrote about on Round 37. Come on, David. Give us what you got on swarming.
Well, swarming is actually occurs in nature in several different species like ants and locusts and various other insects. And what it does is it allows a sort of a group intelligence where there isn't one single entity that's given out a command but they're able to function and actually accomplish something that's a lot stronger than just the individual. For the purpose of protesting, there's really sort of four stages of swarming. It would be target, converge, attack, and disperse. And one of the great things about swarming is that you can target a location and converge on that location with huge amounts of protesters or insects or whatever example you want to use, and then do the attack or protest or whatever the mission is, and then disperse before there's a counter developed to counter what they did.
Right.
Yeah, so now it's not a new concept. There's been several people that have written PhDs and stuff about it, a few individuals from the RAND Corporation, but that was more to do with military applications. And as a matter of fact, he would probably, one particular person, David Ronfeld, who's commenting on the post, he would probably identify what I'm saying as more like a decentralized flocking. That's where you just have sort of a leaderless groups that flock on some, you know, gather together at some site and then quickly get away before they get arrested or pepper sprayed or whatever.
Uh-huh. That would sound to me, David, like there's a lack of strategic application to that deflocking procedure. Instead of the swarming, sounds very strategic.
The swarming is very strategic, and it's actually being has been implemented ever since way before Rumsfeld, and it has to do with satellite communications, instant field awareness, and so on and so on. Mm-hmm. Now, example I may give in like the animal world is think of ants. Ants don't communicate to each other except for by a chemical smell, pheromones. And what they have is that they have this one ant that's sort of randomly going along, and he comes upon a food, and then he goes back to the nest. But as he goes back to the nest, he's laying down a scent of pheromone. And as other ants find the same thing that he did, that scent trail gets reinforced. Okay, and so eventually what happens is it forms a path that's, and I've seen this happen, it's almost a direct path from the food to the nest.
Uh-huh.
And there was no commands giving, there's no orders taken. Queen certainly doesn't give out any orders. And so it's called decentralized intelligence. That is also a name called Synergy or something like that. But
mm-hmm.
And it's not the first time that it's been done. As a matter of fact, probably the first instance of swarming and the new communication age, and communication is the key, is what they call the battle in Seattle. The way World Trade Organization in 1999.
Yeah.
And to be clear, this is coming from, this is an illumination on your article from Roundtree 7, which I've posted a link in the chat room to, which is called Is Swarming the Future of Protest? I just wanted to clear that up. Please go ahead, David.
And brilliant article. Also, I remember reading it, and it was a brilliant article, David. Please tell us some more.
I also mentioned that David Ronfeld, he's what would be considered the guru at the RAND Corporation, him and another guy that's been writing about it since 1991.
Mm-hmm.
And he's got five or six, I believe, public theses on the subject, and he would be considered the expert of it. He's also put some links in his comments in there. Very interesting. You have to think that he's coming from a different side, almost probably you would consider the opposite side of what we're trying to do. But
yeah, the corporate world.
But it's 1%. Always good to know thy enemies, right?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And even better to use their own tactics against them.
Exactly. Yeah. And, his first paper expressed a lot of alarm, and it really is something that is very sophisticated. It's quick. It's, a protest may be organized that wasn't even thought about an hour before. In particular, the Seattle battle in Seattle, the way they did it was they had cells of swarms, and they would have leaders of these cells, and the leaders would receive these instructions, and then they would use those cells to attack. And in that way, if any of them got compromised, it, you know, it's just like a bee getting killed out of 10,000. So you could see the advantage of it. It has a no centralized location or centralized leader or you know, that anything that can be countered against. Now, the whole key to the thing is communication. And
we've got that today with Facebook and Twitter and the internet, instant communication. Boom, you know.
Exactly. With Seattle, they had cell phones and texting and whatnot, and they had just the beginning of the GPS, I think, so they could tell you locations. But the bad thing about that is that avenue is going to be taken away, I feel. In Egypt, there is a lot of highly technical equipment that's able to turn off cell towers strategically and no longer allow cell phones to be used for that purpose. And also several companies have supplied equipment that allows them to basically turn their communication against them and track them. So that's basically where it's at, is that you have the communication issue that has to be solved. Now, there was a protest in Brazil where they used super cheap walkie-talkies, which
like
was really a novel idea because you know, you can't really block walkie-talkies too well. I mean, you can, but you blanket the whole city. But
Well, it's sort of low-tech to what the cell and Twitter feeds and all of that have been able to accomplish. So if they succeed in shutting down the Twitter feeds, which if they do that here in this country, well, I guess with the National Defense Authorization Act of New Year's Eve,
what that does is
it allows the government to go to what they call a domain name server, you know, which is sort of like the phone book of the internet, and it allows them to put your number as unlisted. You can still have the, you know, the 69173 dot, you know, so on and so on, but you can't have Facebook.com. And so, in effect, it does take away a lot of that capability. One of the things that I thought would be advantageous would be to perhaps tie your communication. You know, that's just thinking off the top of my head, is tie your communication to legitimate businesses. You know, they have something called a VPN tunnel.
See, there's a way around everything, isn't there, David?
Exactly.
Good idea.
And what that does is it pits government against big business, and you know who always wins that on that. So, yeah, it would have to do with something called a VPN tunnel. So,
you are a true genius, my friend.
Genius or devious, I think.
Well, both, it doesn't matter.
Well, and the point is that people have figured out also how to, for the last 20 years, I mean, there's been these, I guess they call them flash mobs, that
it's similar to flash mobs, But the thing with a flash mob is that you have to have someone that says, okay, here's the location.
And
once that commander is brought out, you know, anytime you communicate with a group, you have to assume that your communication is going to be compromised. So what that does is it allows the leaders to be arrested. And even though you've gotten away from the centralized location and getting deoccupied and pepper sprayed, you still have the leaders being sort of taken off the top, you know.
Well, that's what's been so remarkable about the current protests, the Occupy Wall Street protests. So far, they haven't been compromised in the way we've been talking about in the last minute or so. And it's driving the powers that be absolutely crazy that they just can't reach out and grab somebody and silence them, you know?
Well, they're reaching out and grabbing people, but there's
a people that
go in there and take their place.
Right, exactly.
Yeah, there are people who are willing to step up and take. Well, it's gotten to such a pretty picture here in this country now.
Right.
I mean, people who are waking up to, you know, there's a lot of people who, there's an election going on this year, first of all.
There's got to be huge fear.
There has got to be huge fear going on in the White House and in the Republican arena, too, where there's brains. Now, I don't know which candidate that implies, because, frankly, I don't see a Republican out there that seems to have, and I'm being very serious, I'm not making a joke, I don't see a really, really, you know, tech-savvy, smart on the edge.
Not only that, they're not aware, but they just dismiss it. They just, that's just out there, and they don't realize the impact this is having and the widespread nature of this particular movement. They don't have a clue. They just think it's a temporary aberration and something that they would just wish would go away. Well, good news, guys, it's not going to happen.
Yeah, exactly right, Jack. I mean, what are the four stages? Denial, and then you put it down, and then you say that it's not really going to work, and then you fear it. So,
right,
I mean,
exactly.
I don't know what stage they're at right now, but I think it's getting close to fear. Because
I don't think they know what stage they're at either.
Yeah, exactly.
And as long as we can keep them, as long as we can keep them in the dark, the better off we are.
Well, when you have the front runner like Romney, just 2 days ago, I guess it was, or maybe it was yesterday, he was face-to-face accosted by intelligent Occupy,
right,
questioning him validly in front of a whole crowd of people who for some reason didn't begin as they do at the old fucking Obama rallies. I'm in it. You know, if I'm disappeared, God darn it, people, at least send flowers, will you? But here's the thing. They're in their face now. At the Obama rally, the people start chanting old slogans like hope and change and yes, we can. I don't know if you've seen that nasty crap.
I've seen
crap.
A little bit of it, yeah. Mm-hmm.
But
yeah, you know, I heard something on the radio that was really interesting about the poster for Obama. You know, that sort of iconic blue and red.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
It says hope. That was originally done by a skater slash artist that had put Andre the Giant
on there. Oh,
yeah, exactly.
Interesting.
And it was like a back then sort of a viral thing for the skate shops and stuff. And then he was sort of tapped on the shoulder to use that for Obama. And it morphed into an
Obama poster that was very famous in its day.
Mm-hmm.
That's right.
But that poster has become a piece of iconography that's been co-opted very successfully too by the Guido boys with the anonymous crowd, the Guido boys with their masks, you know, and girls, who have the now outselling anything in reproduction is that anonymous piece. Have you all seen it?
No,
I haven't.
It's a Guy Fawkes face, and it's the same kind of looking up and out like Obama. You don't expect it out of Guido.
Uh-huh.
And it's like the lines below it don't say hope and change. They say, you know, something about, you know, we are the 99% type of thing. But it's totally usurped or co-opted that iconography for Obama. I'm sure there's a lot of people who will drag their old iconography. Hell, I got an Obama-Biden sign behind my my front room cubby holes with oils, you know, in them. I've got on top of that, it's just too high for me to get my hands on. I just haven't done it yet. Now, that's how many years since Obama Biden. It can be used. It's a tool. I can use it somehow, you know.
Yeah. Well, you know, getting back to the Republican face of the Republicans and Obama, I noticed this past week that Santorum got nailed by a bunch of college kids on the subject of abortion.
Oh, yeah, him too.
And he just got nailed. And, oh, gay marriage,
and
that's
queer,
what it was.
Gay,
they
yeah.
were all yeah. over him, and he, you know, he had a hell of a time with it, and deservedly so, because that guy's way off on a fringe somewhere.
Well,
yeah,
David,
he's involved in that sort of radical religion.
Yeah, he's
and
the
guy
the
is a Catholic. He's a Catholic. Now, I was raised a Catholic. I mean, from Irish American Society Catholic.
Oh, yeah. Me too.
To all
me
of
too.
The regular Catholic crowd.
Right.
On you know, the red brick side of the road, if you will. And I can tell you something. Mr. Santorum does not talk like an educated Catholic. He talks like a real
He talks like a very hardcore evangelist. And you know what? That's not part of the Catholic tradition.
Well, Catholics just have never gotten, they let their priests or their nuns get that extreme. They just don't seem to do it.
Right, exactly.
But the evangelical, you know, this God theme that's running through not just Santorum, but I mean, look at how Obama won't embrace gay marriage. Do you know what I mean? That's the God thing.
It's taken hold of the whole country, and people, you know, secretly, you know, don't want to do anything against gays or even on the subject of abortion, but publicly they definitely don't want to say anything. You know, so it's you know, secretly they may want to, but publicly they don't want to take a stand on it because it's too controversial for them, or at least they've been led to believe it's too controversial by the mainstream media.
What they're being told, and that's more corporate messaging coming at them. David, do you think that there's any way that you could explain how a swarming effect could take place during this election year with Occupy going on at the same time?
With a what? What'd you say?
Well,
how this can happen during the election year, how this swarming can take place during the election year that would be done in a good way.
You know, there's been a lot of talk, and one of Trisha's friends was mentioned that there's a lot of talk about this sort of in the little groups and stuff. You know, they're, even if they don't have the Occupy, they still get together every day and discuss strategies and stuff. And I think it is quite possible to sort of come up with a hybrid of what was done in Seattle,
mm-hmm.
and then take that and sort of implement more of the communication side of it. I mean, you don't. Some of the Seattle stuff, they had the black blocks and all that. That was a little bit violent. But
can you explain exactly what actually took place that brings it to a swarming phenomenon? Example in Seattle,
mass demonstrations. Boom. You know.
Well, in Seattle, they had sales of
that financial.
So you
thing,
had
right the bank.
Yeah, World Trade Organization, and if
right.
Right.
you remember what little the mainstream media published
they
about it.
Barely covered it at all.
It was actually a very big thing, and it's still being written about because at
right.
the time there wasn't anything that could be done against it, and they
right.
basically won.
Mm-hmm.
The battle in Seattle, the protesters won, and the cops
really?
Just basically gave up. And so, yes.
Oh, yeah.
What happened? What did they do? How did they do this? I mean,
well, they had a whole bunch of different, you know, I don't want to get into too much of the technicality, but they had, like, say you, I'll give an example. Say you had 100 people, and then you had one person that's considered the head of the cluster, and then you have another 100 people, and they have the head of the cluster. Then you have this dynamic that's going on, say, by using maps and whatever, somebody calls something that there's a lot of activity at this particular site, then what would happen is cells would pull off of where they were that didn't have activity, and they would diverge to that one site.
Mm-hmm.
So suddenly, no matter where they were trying to confront the wall of protest, they, within minutes, had, you know, perhaps one-fourth of the total protesters swarming down on them.
Mm-hmm.
And then once they reestablished that territory, they would disperse back to the original locations
mm-hmm.
and,
wow.
You know, just go about their business.
Right.
But I put a link to it, to a more technical description of what happened. I mean, there were several techniques brought up, and I wouldn't do it justice trying to explain with my brain
right.
sort of wiggly right now. That's the very point of occupying my bathroom, I think.
You know, David and Gwen, both of you, I would suggest that something that I'd just like to plant a seed right now. Political caucus time. We just had one in Iowa. They were ahead of everybody else. They're happening in every state in the union just about in the next few weeks into the next month or so. Political caucuses. I would say let's swarm every possible political caucus that can be swarmed and demand, and just go there and demand and stay all night and demand that only progressive candidates be nominated for the next post or for the next convention or whatever the case may be, so that we can build a progressive network from the ground up. Boom, just like
you're,
that.
Yeah,
it's sort of getting away from
the
idea of swarming, though.
Well,
it'd be pretty tough to pull that off
in the Republican Party, but I'd love to see it happen.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Now, I got sort of a question to bring up concerning the huge dissatisfaction with the Democratic Party. Now,
right.
Democratic Convention 1968.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure everybody's familiar with that.
Oh, yeah.
What do you think
the
possibilities of something like that occurring again?
I think that Occupy is already, this is a pretty erudite crowd, you know. All of these GAs that are hanging tough from Oakland to Dallas to Occupy Wall Street. I mean, you know, did anybody see the post? I posted the video of Michael Moore speaking 3 days ago at the meeting in New York.
Yeah.
And,
did anyone see that the person that got arrested was the camera?
No,
it was on Facebook today.
Uh-uh.
You know, they were saying, the cops were coming at him saying, get back behind the line, and he kept on saying, well, where's the line? Where's the line? And he kept on going back and back.
I saw that somewhere
else.
Yeah,
and eventually they just all
ago.
Jumped him on the trunk of the, or the hood of the car.
Yeah, they were, you know, being...
When
people.
Was this?
This was today. Somebody posted it on
Yeah, but it
Facebook,
actually
but...
happened a while back, I think, if I'm not mistaken.
Oh, it did?
Oh.
Yeah.
I thought I saw that a few days back, like maybe even last week. Yeah, he didn't know where to go, and they just jumped on him.
Yeah, he was trying to comply.
Right.
And
they've gotten very tough. There was an action at Grand Central Station. And
Tricia put something, it was a punk patriot, yeah. Yeah,
mm-hmm.
Yeah, they were protesting the signing of the NDAA, and I actually have recorded, distilled, part of a video that was up on it where they were arresting the girl who was, you know, beginning the mic check type of, and I, you know, saying she is there to protest. And they pushed into the crowd on her and grabbed her right in front of the cameras and everything and started pulling her off to the side. I mean, come on.
Yeah. There's a denial of free speech right there.
Yeah.
It is.
One of the most disturbing things about it is that they did it while cameras are running. So they must have authority and permission to do that.
Right.
Because
they don't fear repercussions. It is.
Well, that's the police acting on their own, enforcing, you know, turning the whole scene into a police state.
You really
it's just,
think they're acting on their
I
own?
I think the DHS
think
is coordinating the whole thing.
Right, I think
that's
they've
my
been
personal opinion.
Sitting in rooms in precincts listening to people say, this is what you will do, this is how you will act.
That could very well be.
These are the rules of engagement here, this is
yep.
what you mm-hmm. can and cannot do.
Right.
And they're probably pressing cops who do not want to act that way
mm-hmm.
into a service of acting that way, are taking people's rights away from them by their actions. So,
or they're ignoring the ones that don't want to do it, and they're just focusing on the ones that they think will do it, and those are the ones that comply.
Yeah,
so
we're
going
out of the protest.
There's the psychology of the group to consider also, and who's wearing the leadership shoes at any moment, because that's the person who is, you know, speaking. That's in an Occupy crowd. The person who is the initial speaker, the engager, that is the person who has that temporary lead in the moment, and mm-hmm. that's who they're going to go after, because you have to make them shut up, or you have to just take them away.
And they're doing this at the urging of the white shirts, you know, so to speak.
Well,
and,
well, there were no white shirts around in this one video of this young lady at Grand Central being arrested. And they take her away. They got the camera rolling. They go down the hall. All of a sudden, you hear back in the other direction of where the crowd was gathered of protesters, after they've taken this leader who was speaking away, put her down the hall. They're you know, they are subduing her for arrest, putting her in the position. All of a sudden, you hear in the background, my check. You know, it's like, whose station? My station. It was like, you know, whose show? My show. People just went on, and I found that a beautiful moment.
Yes, exactly. It's too bad that it happened, but it's good that it happened the way it did, that she was able to get that across like she did on camera or within earshot,
well,
you know.
Everyone, I have to apologize, but my
Thank you, David.
2-minute warning, so.
Yeah, I understand, buddy. Well, good luck and get well quickly.
Feel better.
And keep up the
good
word.
Yeah, I would actually like to you know, when my head's a little clearer, come back again on the show and maybe talk
in more detail.
And, yeah, I would really like that if I could. So.
Please do.
Oh, absolutely. David,
get well quick, David.
Sponsor it.
Take care, my friends.
Yeah, you take care too. Talk to you soon.
Bye.
Yeah, you know, regarding getting back to the swarming concept, it's fascinating, and it really it is serving OWS very well. And I think it will continue to, in spite of any individual scattered efforts to circumvent it. I don't think they're going to be successful. And I think we ought to all make it a point to swarm anywhere we can as a group to nominate and elect only progressive candidates. Whether it's your voting booth, your caucus, or whatever it is, let's do it.
Well, it's going to take groups. It's
exactly.
going to take focused and organized groups within the DCCC.
Right.
In order to enable that, and I'm going to tell you right now.
So much
I know
bought out. That's probably
Rick Spezak is in the room listening, and a shout out to Progressive News Network, which is on right after our show on Blog Talk Radio's radio. I think he could be pretty, because he's definitely part of the democratic construct in this area.
Yeah. Well, I hope we've planted fertile seed for him, and I hope that it'll be something that we can run with and get some results with, because we've been putting up with this fuddle-duddle crap for so long, it's unbelievable.
The point is, Jack, that you have to have people within that are established within the Democratic Party working
in
that direction, who are not Obots or Obama apologists, or who do not want to see the party threatened for
Occupy. Who aren't Dinos, or who aren't, you know, these are the people you want to replace at the precinct level, because then you go to the state level, the county level, the state level, up and down the ladder, and pretty soon you've got a real progressive party again.
I agree. I think that to expect it to get done here right now, outside of all the other Occupy motion that's going on, I don't know if it's possible. I don't think there's that many people in the Democrat structure
Not right now.
That will actually,
let's remember, this is a movement, and it's constantly evolving, and whether it's going to happen this year, or next year, or in 2 years, or in 4 years, if we put our minds to it, and we are determined enough, and we develop iron butts, and don't take no for an answer, and we persist, you know, like crazy, we're going to get this done. And it's a very important thing to do, I think, to take our political institutions back.
I think you're right, Jack. I do think you're right. And I think it's a matter of also convincing the people who are already in those places that do not think that it's a valid thing to do yet. I think it's, you know, it's going to take
convincing. Well, we're at the spearhead of the revolution here, you know. We're at the spearhead of it all.
Yeah, the vanguard, if you will. I hear
exactly.
You very clearly, the systems busters.
Yeah,
you know,
right.
The old system does not work, so it's
exactly.
About being system busters.
Exactly. Let's tear it apart and let's rebuild it the right way, you know.
You've worked for the Democrats, if I recall properly, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Same way I have.
Sure, exactly.
Because that was the party to support. But it's
Reagan era pushed everything further to the right. It pushed the Republicans further to the right, and they've just kept going in that direction. And it pushed the Democrats to the right. And it led to a lot of stuff that the Democrats would have never done had they stayed on their regular course before Reagan.
Yeah.
And they didn't really have to bend the way they did, but they did. So now we got to get them to bend back to where they were, the original party of the workers and the poor and the people that need help, and not necessarily the party of big government, but the party of effective, good government. And not this bought-out Dino crap that we've seen the last decade and a half. It's just been, an aberration of what the Democrats really began under FDR and Truman and Kennedy and LBJ and everybody. It got twisted and perverted during the Reagan mudslide of the 80s.
Hey, well, it's been a lot of dirty roads. I will agree with that.
Oh, yeah.
I want to make these announcements before we run out of time. It's having to do with Occupy, and Occupy DC is holding a rally at 11 a.m. tomorrow at McPherson Square, and the reason is because the IMF, International Monetary Fund, and the Nigerian... and the Nigerian administration is forcing austerity and more cuts on the people. They have nothing. Especially $8 billion is being cut from fuel subsidies that's causing inflation in the Nigerian
Link TV had some protests going on in Nigeria as we speak about that.
Right, but what's going on is that, there's been protests across Nigeria, and they've been met with police repression that's been incredible. There's three dead.
It's been
from
terrible.
It. But the Nigerian Labor Congress, Africa's largest union, has over 4 million members. It's now calling for a general strike of all the affiliate unions in support of the country's also striking oil workers.
Good.
And it starts tomorrow. So in solidarity with Occupy Nigeria, the EIE and the Nigerian movements, the Occupy movement here in the United States is calling for local protests.
Great.
So this is not just the one that's going to begin tomorrow at Occupy DC, and there's two groups of Occupy in DC, so that's a lot. They're going to be at McPherson Square if you're in the D.C. area, but all local Occupies, get your folks together, you know, and say, hey, listen, solidarity starts today with Nigeria.
Right.
Nigeria has stood with Occupy Wall Street and Days of Action in this country, so it's really kind of cool. Then February 29th, Occupy Portland has a national call to action out, and I just want to remember to keep putting this out there in the shows between then and now, if I can remember to,
Tomcat is based of Politics Plus is based in Portland, and he has quite a large readership, and I'm quite sure he's going to mention that if it's going to be in Portland proper.
Well, so, it's a national call to action to shut down the corporations.
Right.
It's a very distinctive kind of an action. It's a day of nonviolent direct action to reclaim voices and the challenge of society's obsession with profit and greed by shutting down the corporations. And, of course, I'm reading directly off of their media, public relations,
press release,
their press release. So, basically, that's what you've got there. They're going to be protesting ALEC, too, at the same time.
Great.
And that's February 29th.
Outstanding. That's in Portland, huh? Or that's all, we'll try and make that all
beginning,
over.
It's beginning in Portland. Portland wants, of course, solidarity from the local groups. That's the thing here. I know Pinko reads these, and hi, Pinko, there's Pinko the Bear and Black Bones in the
yep.
chat room.
Good.
And I know Pinko reads these things off and gets the information out there and running around. Also, there is going to be on Fridays the Occupy Friday block lineup of independent little blog talk radio shows, and you can find them posted on my show page, on Pinko the Bear's show page, I suppose, in the next week. Also at Diane G's, but it's including Here Be Monsters, a Friday mic check show at 4 o'clock, and followed by Dusty Taylor's What's Jerking My Chain, I believe it's called, and then Wild Left, and after the Wild Left, and their close will be. Brian Stetton and Ruth Ann, I never pronounce her name correctly, but it's Progress Towards Democracy. And there will be a lineup, and you can see all this. But I wanted to get those announcements
out. I'm glad you did. And I'm especially, I love them all, but I'm especially intrigued by that February 9th anti-corporate protest. That gives this advance warning like this. That's 6 weeks away. That's better than that. We've got a good long time to let our own individual Occupy movements all across the country know about that so they can work in sympathy with it.
Well, yeah, and plus there's Occupy Oakland, the other side of the coast. And the background noise is actually Oso calling in, Al Oso Rio is calling in from out of
Al.
Occupy.
Hi, Oso.
Hey, guys, how you doing?
Very good.
We're doing great.
What's happening in Oakland?
A lot of stuff going on right now. I'm on the train going into a meeting, so I'm hoping you guys can you guys hear me okay?
Oh, yeah.
We can hear you fine. There were six arrests yesterday in Oakland, correct?
As I understand, there were six people arrested, yeah. Just to kind of recap briefly, the Oakland PD had been harassing the encampment the last couple of weeks. Again, they want everybody out of there. And there's still people who go in there to feed the homeless. And those are the people they've been arresting. They arrest them. They charge them with some really crazy things like obstructing an officer, lynching, including lynching themselves, meaning doing something to calling out or hollering or something, which they're claiming might incite a crowd to riot and break them loose. And what they do is they arrest the people, they cuff them, they'll put them in the back of an unventilated, unlit van, or I guess like a police paddy wagon, and park it for six to 8 hours, just leaving them back there handcuffed.
They'll take them into jail.
Yeah, they keep them in jail for up to 4 days, and then they release them without a charge. So it's just to mess with people who are to intimidate them, to harass them,
What does the ACLU say about this?
Yeah, you know, I don't know. I would imagine that's being explored. I don't have any information on that, though.
Yeah.
But there was, like, on the march last night, there was a lot of the NLG, the National Laborers, I'm sorry, Lawyers Guild people were there observing. The march last night was in response to the harassment.
Yeah.
I'm not sure how many people were there. There was quite a few of them. If you watch the videos there, several hundred.
Mm-hmm.
The FTP thing, I don't know if we can cuss on here or not, so F the police march.
Yeah.
Big banner, big black banner with fuck the police written across it, and they marched on the police station and marched past it, and there was just a massive amount of cops there, just everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
And their intent was to kettle the demonstrators, to kind of cut them off, and they finally did. What made things, I think, what triggered off the violence was, partly, of course, the the cops had their feelings hurt when people call them names. That bothers them. But the other thing is, you get people in the very back of the crowd who fling a bottle. And it's like, well, you know, I mean, if you want to go throw a bottle at a cop, go into the front line, throw it at him. I mean, I don't care. I'd be glad if you hit him. But the thing is, you got to be prepared for a massive response.
Right.
And if you're in the back of a march and you fling a bottle, you know, over the crowd, the response is going to go to those people in the front. So it's just
that's nonviolent. That's not nonviolent anymore, and it's a dangerous tactic to use, I think. And I understand why it gets done, and I'm in sympathy with them, but it's just not a smart move, I don't think.
Exactly. And what happened with the cops charged the crowd, and
of course,
what they do is when they're trying to get at a guy or a girl, you know, whoever threw the thing, is there's people in the way who are running in a panic, and they're in the way and they get clubbed.
Oh, yeah.
And that's what all the problem was. Like in one case, for instance, one of the young ladies who serves food, she had a trailer with a cake behind her bicycle, and she was riding along, and she didn't get out of the way fast enough. So, you know, they shoved her off her bike. When she came back for it, they hit her in the hand, and then people came to her defense.
And, you know, the problem is when stuff like that happens.
Has this been filmed?
Yes, it's all on film. I've put some of that stuff up there, and she's interviewed afterwards.
Yeah.
And
good.
You know, when I get home tonight, Gwen, I'll put it directly on yours and on your site.
Good. The problem is Fox Noise covers that crap, and they do it with their selective editing, and they make it seem like everybody's going rampant and wild and crazy, and this has got to be stamped out. That's what they do. That's why it's very dangerous for anybody to engage in any kind of nonviolent action that brings upon police retaliation. It's not a smart move. It leads right into
Fox
News' hands.
It does, And, you know, Fox News will have... Well, actually, it was kind of odd. There was no media there at all, other than there was some in the front of the police station, but all this stuff, when they marched back and when the cops overreacted, there was no media there. It was strictly...
Well, that's good.
Well, it was strictly...
Well, they don't want any.
Yeah, the thing is, there was the Okfo show who live streamed it. His stuff is there, so you can see all of these things. Yeah.
Well, then that way people can see the truth instead of some trumped-up crap that you see on Bill O'Reilly's show, you know?
Absolutely. And they arrested some of the medics, because there's volunteer medics who go along with the crowd to protect them. Yeah, they arrested those guys. So it was,
pretty disgusting. And, you know, all it's going to do is create a burden on the legal system, on the judicial framework within that city. It's just, it's so stupid.
Well, so tell me, also, is there another march tonight?
No, their plan, and I don't know if anything's have changed yet. The plan for setting up this one FTP march was to do it on a weekly basis. So my guess would be it'll continue on a weekly basis with a lot of angry people next Saturday night. I don't know that for certain. I'll confirm it and get back to you guys on it. But the original intention had been for it to be a weekly thing until the political prisoners are freed.
Right. And that's what they are, political prisoners. You're right.
Yep.
They are,
exactly.
100%.
You know, I'm... guys, listen, I'm going to be heading into a tunnel here now.
Hey, thanks for
the
report from Oakland.
Thanks. Take care, you guys. Bye-bye.
Yeah, take care. Bye-bye now.
Al Osorio. How do I keep that one up? Say it again, Jack.
Al Osorio.
O-S-O-R-I, Osorio.
Yeah.
I always mess it, but it's because I'm
That's
so used
okay.
to calling him out.
It's the intent, the thought that counts.
basically, calling in directly from Occupy Oakland en route to, I know that they have a General Assembly meeting, and that's what he set it off to.
Right.
It the the march that they're going to try to do once a week is called FTP, and I guess everyone realizes that that's fuck the pigs.
Mm-hmm.
Because of the brutality that's been going on, not just at, gosh knows, Oakland is probably one of the worst hit.
The worst,
but every,
yeah.
They're all being hit. They're
yeah.
all being hit. We thought that, except for, I haven't heard anything at my own, at Palm Beach.
And they've had very little action up here in Minneapolis, too, so that's good.
Okay, well, that's good to hear, too. But New York, Portland, we've seen some horrific stuff on television.
Oh,
and
yeah.
What is still so stunning is that with all this stuff, all of this eye candy for
mm-hmm.
seeing what's going on and what the cops are doing and what they're up to, watching for, like, God knows how long that guy at UC Davis marching up and down to spraying point blank into those
yeah.
kids' faces.
Yeah,
I
and
mean,
they weren't
and,
getting up and throwing stuff at them. They were just taking it.
And there's still not one word from this White House.
Yeah,
not
I know. Isn't it something? It's unbelievable.
I think it's terrible. I think it's pretty awful. Every other country
mm-hmm.
where there is some kind of action, and just about every other country you can think of, where there's Occupy action and people in the streets and things going on, the leadership of the country is directly addressing the people in the streets.
Mm-hmm.
This country, I have not really seen this president.
No.
Address.
Well, we're in a way we're too big really for that to happen effectively, but regardless, the whole principle is
uh-huh.
there that they respond immediately and directly in other countries, but here they blow it off and try to ignore it and hope it'll go away.
I don't think it has anything at all to do with the size of the country. I think it has to do with the size of the wallets of the people paying the real paycheck.
And the attitudes, that's
leaders.
Right. That's right.
They
you're right.
And you know, I saw an interesting piece this morning, not to go there too quickly, but it was I think CBS's Sunday Morning, and they were spotlighting these young fellows who have decided to take all of the stuff we were raised with, talking about how to stand up straight and present yourself and have self-respect. They've turned it into a new corporate kind of a workshop that you can take on self-help and, you know, life coaching kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And it's all based on the stuff your father or your mother taught you, basically, and good manners
yeah.
and proper speech. I suppose grammar has a lot to do with it. Gosh
mm-hmm.
knows, they, you know, anyways. I saw him talking about the body language, and that's the other part, body language. I heard him speaking on body language, and he was describing how Bill Clinton, for instance, and Ronald Reagan had sincere smiles. They engaged people with eye-to-eye contact that wasn't, you know, improper. In other words, it was soft, it was sincere and warm, but
mm-hmm.
it was also, I'm the leader, you know,
right.
a self-infused one. Then they compared it to Barack Obama, and they said, you know, he has a couple of problems because the longer he's been in office, the more his head tilts back, and it looks like he's looking down his nose at you. And I thought,
interesting.
My God, that's about the best subtle body language that can make all the difference with people who
sure.
are, you know, looking up from their dinner and reading a paper and watching the news and seeing
sure.
him there.
Yeah.
And, you know, their fresh eyes on just that. They're going to
yeah.
read that. They're going
well,
to see
yeah,
that.
That's interesting because, well, actually, all the way along, they've always maintained that he was much better in mass situations than he was in one-on-one situations. And they've always
uh-huh.
maintained that, and I guess we're starting to kind of see it now.
Well, I thought he was very sincere. I was totally, you know, thinking
mm-hmm.
that the whole thing was sincere. It has
yeah.
not turned out to be. And I think of myself reasonably intelligent and paying attention to the dialogue.
Oh, yeah.
So I wonder I wonder how it's hitting people. You know, you were talking earlier about talking to Democrats about getting things put in their proper perspective and making it true progressives to
right.
take, to feed into all of the different. It's interesting. I will be on. In fact, we're getting ready to shut down here because I have to close the show. I'm going to be, if anyone wants to, I hope you will follow over to Progressive News Network here on Blog Talk Radio. Kenneth Quinnell, who is a part of the Florida Democrat Party, the Builders and Shakers in the caucuses, and he worked for, Kendrick Meek, and bowed out of that contest after Meek did not for Charlie Crist. But the thing is that all of these progressives that we need to see get into a position of making a difference
right.
and putting union workers back in there instead of people who are, you know, you've got a lot of people who are not even independently employed that, you know, it's like the Ladies League of Voters is in there instead of a working class in there.
Right, exactly. Yeah, we need more working people represented in part of it. That's right.
There you go. Jack, thanks a lot for being with me today.
Yeah, thank you, Gwen. It was a very good show tonight, and we've planted a seed tonight that I hope will sprout into a bountiful garden. I really do.
Well,
because we need it.
You really have to keep talking about that one.
Keep pushing about pushing. We got to keep pushing it.
The more you say so, the more people will listen. I'm going to play a song to get us out of here. I wanted to give a couple of minutes before the last moment. So I want to thank everybody who came by to listen to us today that are in the chat room right now. Tricia
and everybody.
Tenko and Brian Smith and Free Market Socialists, FMS. And Shecky. Okay, that Shecky. That's working for you because that caught my attention. Shecky. sounds like a cop. Oh, okay, I get that one right. There was a flashback in there somewhere. Okay, we will be with you next Sunday. I finally got it out, Jack.
Great.
That would be at 6 p.m.
All right,
so
we'll see you next week, everybody.
Again. Yes, and I'm going to play a little bit of that video I was talking about. I've recorded it. I'm going to play a little bit of that. The young lady being arrested in Grand Central Station.
Oh, great. Okay, good.
Yeah. Being arrested.
Yeah.
The National Defense Authorization Act! Authorization Act! Criminalizes!
Criminalizes!
Our voices!
Our voices!
This new law!
This new law! Amendment.
They throw you out the door.
They throw you out the door.
I'm getting arrested.
You're getting arrested.
Hey, everybody, that was that arrest that took place at Grand Central. Thanks for being with us. This has been Here Be Monsters. Pinko, Brian, I hope you're not confused anymore. Everybody, have a really great week. Nouns go first, Brian. Yeah, when you're losing your memory.